But so much the more went there fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. You know, it's not the sort of thing you can really keep secret. It's not the kind of thing you feel right not telling people about. But it was right for Christ to tell him to be quiet about it, because that was his humility. He was not come to make a spectacle of himself. He was come to heal, but not to make a spectacle of healing. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town in Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whither is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. So there's a passage of time here where he goes in the wilderness and prays, and then on some certain day, he's teaching. And all these Pharisees and doctors of the law, teachers of the law, come out of all the towns in Galilee, Jerusalem. They'd all been hearing about what was going on up in Galilee, and there's a prophet in Galilee, and they came out to see him. And it's safe to assume that up to this point, you know, they maybe heard things he said and not disapproving. You know, maybe these, you know, just like in the incident when he was 12, hearing him, thinking, that's very wise. And you know, I mean, here, anyone who takes God's word seriously, you know, when they hear, okay, it's not just a sin to commit adultery, but it's a sin to commit adultery in your heart. And one could, as a serious student of the Bible, sit there and be like, you know, he's right. And listen to much of his teaching without any stumbling. But Jesus was set to be a stumbling stone, to be something that people would stumble at. And he did it in such a way as to assure their stumbling. As the Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle in the second chapter, starting with verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. To you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Those who stumbled at Christ were appointed to stumble at Christ. But we, as Peter said, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we, how do we differentiate the children of God from those who are not the children of God? Well, 1 John 3 for one. And there's another thing. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, therefore ye are not of God. As Jesus said in John chapter 8. They were appointed to be disobedient. They were appointed to reject Christ. God had not chosen them to salvation. God had not elected them. It is written in the book of 1 Corinthians that if the princes, the rulers, the leaders of this world knew what they were doing, if God had not hidden the wisdom of God, which he speaks to us in a mystery, that they would not have crucified Christ. That's why God hardened Pharaoh's heart, because if God had not hid the wisdom from Pharaoh, then Pharaoh would have let the people go. Because he would have seen, I'm going to pay a great price for this. I need to let them go. There's just too much at stake here. But God hardens the hearts of men so that they do his will. And yes, that can be to perform something negative. Because they, not that they love God or that they love righteousness, but they love themselves enough that if the wisdom was revealed to them, they would do what is necessary to save themselves. But God hides the wisdom from them. You can read about that in the first book of Corinthians. In the second chapter, it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so when Jesus here says the things he says, he is playing that role of stumbling block. And he is saying things that are provocative, that he knows are provocative to their minds. And he does not give explanation because it is not given to them to believe. But he very boldly just states it very simply. Look it. And I'm going to break it down very simply. That I have the power to heal. I could only have that power from God. When I say I can forgive sins, you can trust also that the sins are forgiven. But he knows this is more than they can accept within the framework of their own understanding of the nature of reality and the nature of God in their own religion. That, you know, they had taken on, and people in religions today still do the same types of things, where they come up with these absolutist statements like, no one can forgive sins but God. I mean, what a convenient way to bear a grudge against your brother. I would forgive you, but only God can forgive sins. And so it is for the hardness of men's hearts that these kind of ideas take hold. And people today still have the same mentality sometimes, where they make up these absolutist statements, so that when you say things to people, they're offended. Like if someone, you know, when people die, they're fond of saying, well, they're in a better place. They're in the ground. A living dog is better than a dead lion. It is better to be alive than dead. But, you know, if you say that to people, people are going to be offended. They're going to go, oh, you know, they're going to be downcast. It's the truth. But they've given themselves false hope. And there is a true hope in death. It is they will live again in the resurrection. But instead, people say these platitudes. They're in a better place. You know, they're with God now. And so on and so forth, when they're with the worms.